This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. Again, the smart people were up in Bristol. Great guest today. We got you locked and loaded. Football, hoops, soccer, wrestling, lottery. Upset about the folks in Hollywood. We'll get into all that stuff today, Wes. We have a busy, busy show. It's going to be good.
And you are 3 hours and 4 minutes away from bacon, egg, and cheese on a Friday.
Bojangles. Breaking news at 10:05 as I take the hounds in the Ford F-150 to Bojangles. We do our traditional drive-through. We get our biscuits.
Yeah.
No butter for the boys. And I'll probably load up on two sausage and egg today, I think. Two sausage and egg. That's where I'm going.
Okay. Bojangles. I have one question here for clarity. Do the dogs get their biscuits before you do? Because if you get yours first, I have a sense the dogs have to wait.
No, Chester rides shotgun to the right. Fuller's in the back.
Right.
Get the delivery. Yep. The employees always say, hey, Chester Fuller. I mean, they know the dogs. No butter.
Sure.
No butter for the dogs.
And they know you.
They know.
And
well,
they know
me
you, local
now.
Celebrity, regional celebrity.
Celebrity, the key word there. No doubt. Celebrity. Right. So...
Yeah.
Biscuits come out, dogs, I pull out of the drive-through, go to the parking spot first, unwrap the dogs, Chester gets his first, I throw the one biscuit over the shoulder for Fuller in the back, and then I drive with my knees back to the house, and I've got a biscuit in each hand. That's how we roll. Bojangles. Seatbelt on, the law. That's how we roll.
A lot of safety.
Yes,
a lot
sir.
Of safety. Yeah, there you go.
All right, we got stuff to get into. We got a busy show, and there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff, too.
Kind of dancing around a little bit. We start last night in Louisville at the KFC Yum Center. The marquee game on the women's card in the ACC last night featured the top-ranked Cardinals defending that honor for the first time against number 20 Syracuse last night. And kind of a tight ball game. Orange had some early momentum, doing a lot of stuff inside. Second half belonged to number one. Dana Evans had 21-7. Haley Van Lith, a big night. She had 18 points, 8 rebounds, and dropping threes. And the Cards win by 13, 67-54. Emily Inksler, big ball game off the bench for Coach Hilsman. Tiana, another double-figure assist game pack. But Jeff Walls' team keeps the number one ranking.
They are on the fast track of a 1-2 showdown against NC State, assuming both can hold serve, if you will. I will say, I watched some of this game last night. I watched a lot. Actually, I probably watched more women's basketball last night than I probably have in a long, long time. Because we had all kinds of games going on. We had double overtime games. We had the showdown with the two ranked teams in the ACC and others. Georgia Tech's rocking. We'll get to them. I got to tell you, I thought, after talking to Muffet yesterday on the show, given the fact the way Syracuse gets up and down the floor, the way Louisville has just been blowing people out, they've been averaging 86 a game, I thought we'd get more offense in this game. Now, I'm not trying to be critical here. I mean, these are two ranked teams. These are two good clubs, obviously. But I really thought we'd get more offensive firepower from both. And again, here's Louisville averaging 86 a game, literally, 19 points underneath their average. And I don't think of Syracuse as a great defensive team, but they've got offensive skill. But, you know, when you're number one, hey, it's got to feel a little bit different, right? Rarefied air for Louisville. They've had a great women's program. But, hey, a chance that you are number one. And you know you got number two coming up. So the object of the game is to win. And Q's girls, I still like their team. They're going to score a bunch of points and win a bunch of games. But Louisville proved last night, once again, why they are one of the alphas in the ACC.
Yeah. I think Syracuse's plight last night, in terms of their scoring, was really impacted by the fact they were only 2 of 13 from three.
Right.
Exactly. I think that had a lot to do with it. I think you're talking about a team that kind of just lives with the ability to go end to end, and Louisville's got kind of stoppers, if you will. You know, I think Louisville's shown the ability to play at different pace too, and you really, I'm not sure you want to get Syracuse going 94 feet. I think that obviously helps them. So maybe in part, Jeff Walls thought, hey, look, we got to tempo this thing down a little bit. Louisville didn't shoot it great either, but nonetheless, their stars, Van Lith and Dana Evans, certainly were big factors last night as well. So But you're right. We're on a collision course to February 1st here, aren't we?
It feels that way. And again, I don't have any rooting interests. I just want to be entertained. Give me the story. And if the story happens to be number one is going to play number two in the ACC from a national ranking standpoint, it'd be awesome for the league. So, but Louisville and NC State will have the pressure, like I said, to hold serve to get to that game.
Right. Dana Evans, ninth 20-point game of the year.
So good. She is so good. We love her on the show because she's great with us on the air. But, man, she is so good. She's so confident, has total control of what's happening. It's a joy to watch her play.
All right. We'll get to more of the night in women's hoops coming up. And Kelly Gramlich going to visit with us at 8:30, by the way, too. So we're looking forward to kind of recapping the night with KG. How about the MLS Super Draft? Might as well have been called the ACC Super Draft, Pac.
It was.
I mean, come on now. Six players in the top seven?
Well, how about, listen, there was only 75 selections yesterday, all right? 75 best players.
Yeah.
One-third of the field from the Atlantic Coast Conference. A third. 25 dudes were selected. 12 in the first round. Six of the first seven, as you pointed out. We keep bragging about this league from both the men and women's perspective when it comes to soccer. It's not even close. It's almost, I'm not going to say it's embarrassing, but it almost is embarrassing how this conference dominates both sides. And that was never more true than yesterday when you start talking about, all right, let's take it to the next level with the pros. Where are you looking? Well, they turn to the ACC front and center.
Yeah. So here's the quick rundown. The top selection overall was Daniel Pereira, the midfielder from Virginia Tech. He went to Austin FC. That's the new MLS expansion team. Calvin Harris, second from Wake Forest. Philip Mayaka, midfielder from Clemson, third. Kamarni Smith, who we talked about during the fall from Clemson, went fourth. Michael DeShields from Wake Forest and Brett Halsey, or Halsey, I should say, from Virginia, went seventh overall. That's it. Six of the first seven in the MLS Super Draft come from the ACC. As Pac told you, 25 total, 12 in the first round. Maybe it should have been called the ACC Super Draft. We should call Dan Garber, the commissioner of the MLS, and see if he's interested in our thoughts on that. We all got ties. I mean, ACC Network, MLS is on ESPN. We might be able to get the commissioner on the phone pretty quick here.
Well, maybe next year they can just have the draft from Greensboro, right? Wouldn't it be easier? Will they just move their headquarters to Greensboro? And, as John Swofford makes the transition to Jim Phillips and so forth, all that stuff, we just say, hey, listen, we'd like to borrow the facilities for the weekend and have the draft. I mean, it really is impressive. I mean, we talked about it during the season when you see highlights. We have had tons of coaches and players on here, both the men and women's side. And the talent level in this league, if you're a soccer nut, I mean, you just turn it to ACC Network, man. We got you covered. It's amazing how great the soccer is in this conference.
Yeah. Did you have a Since Dirt stat this morning on this?
Did I? No. No Since Dirt.
Oh.
I can come up with one if you want, probably.
No.
Here's a boy. Here's
Since Dirt. It is. Look at this. Since Dirt. It's on the screen. First time since Dirt, two Wake players were selected in the top five of the MLS Super Draft. There's a Since Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. Since Dirt. Look at what Since Dirt's done here in the last couple of weeks, by the way.
I told you it's going to be the next staple of our program, Since Dirt.
The momentum.
I'm looking
into a graphic for that.
Well, I'm looking into trademarking that Since Dirt.
Okay, here we go with that.
Well, I mean, it's worked out for what I tell you. I've done all right in the trademark department, the copyright trademark world. I've been pretty good. I got to tell you, it's been a very profitable world for me. I may partake with Since Dirt.
People don't realize the Packer empire, Packer media legal empire.
I have sued many an entity over trademark and copyright infringement. And I'm not real proud to tell you what one of them is because it may get me fired.
No, we don't. No, hey,
They know who they are.
Let's move along. Let's move along to another story before we get to a break.
Before we add on to the house.
Can I ask you a question? And we got a couple minutes here, and we're going to go ahead and move along from this. Why? What is the Notre Dame football picture? What is that?
I had a blast with this yesterday. Now, I'm not trying to make light of it.
What is going on? Level one? It's a level one?
Well, here's the deal.
Probation?
Here's the deal. Notre Dame football was placed on 1 year probation yesterday. Now, I didn't know they were even under investigation like everybody else. So I read the release yesterday before the radio show, and I'm laughing out loud. I mean, I am laughing out loud going, oh, you've got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me people actually wasted, let me emphasize the word, wasted time at the NCAA to look into Notre Dame having their head coach, Brian Kelly, take a photo op with a recruit, a photo, a picture. You've got a former assistant who no longer is even employed by the institution sent 10 additional impermissible text to a prospective recruit. And that is double secret probation. We're going to slap you on the wrist. And oh, by the way, they threw a $5,000 fine on him. And I'm reading this going, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, can you imagine how many subcommittee meetings we had? How many donuts and croissants were wasted talking about this is something that we need to look into with Notre Dame? Heaven forbid Brian Kelly have his photo taken. Oh, the outrage. I mean, give me a break. I mean, we've got basketball coaches still roaming the sidelines around the country who have been on tape offering hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're still coaching. Schools haven't been touched. And I got Brian Kelly taking a picture with somebody, and Notre Dame's on 1 year football probation till January. You have got to be kidding me. You wonder why people mock the NCAA. You wonder why. I mean, are you kidding me? Heaven forbid, Brian Kelly, don't you ever do that again. Please, we have got to have better things going on. There's got to, and I don't know how many hundreds of hours were spent by NCAA enforcement to look into these absolutely hideous moves by Notre Dame football, to actually have to take a picture with a prospective recruiter, get on your phone and send 10 additional texts. I mean, good grief. And I saw Jack Swarbrick's quote, and I could almost close my eyes and hear him have to write this, go, hey, we accept it, well, da-da-da. We thought they were a bit excessive, and you got to figure Jack Swarbrick was like, come on, what are we doing? You know, nobody wants to be on probation. I get that part, but at some point in time, common sense has to take over. I mean, you got people on wiretap talking about paying players hundreds of thousands of dollars, and yet they're still coaching. Schools are not on probation, and we're going to waste time on Brian Kelly taking a picture with somebody. Ridiculous. I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think that, you know, we've got all this stuff going on, not to mention the other side of the house, the name, image, and likeness side, PAC. And we're going to spend time on this, use the manpower for this. We're trying to have a Division I men's basketball championship.
Wes, those are two, to me, those are two separate avenues. You know, name, image, and likeness affects everybody. Yet, you know, I'm watching basketball last night, and I'm watching Arizona State. Hey, there's Sean Miller. He's coaching them up. Hey, I was watching Will Wade the other night watch Alabama make 23 threes again. He's still coaching down there. Bill Self, you know, he's doing his thing. I'm like, hey, what are we doing? Why are you wasting any time on any institution because the head football coach stopped by a high school and somebody said, hey, coach, can you take my picture? Hey, he could have been saying nothing but, yeah, sure, I'd love to. Here, geez, snapshot, here we go. That's a violation.
The fact that the picture's a violation is ridiculous. It's
just
come on now.
Stupid. The whole thing is just stupid. Stupid.
There you go.
I'm done.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer. and Wes Durham.
What in the world are we doing this morning?
Huh? What's the matter? You all right?
What in the world are we doing this morning?
You okay?
I'm fine. I'm just, yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, we have our little pre-production stuff that starts before the show. We have some conversation with the Lumberjacks. Meg directs our show, does a phenomenal job.
True
we
leader.
Get into topics here and there related to the show or not to the show. And then every once in a while in commercial breaks, we go down a path in about 45 seconds that just leaves you kind of coming back to air going, what are we doing?
I tell you what we're doing. We're talking about a big weekend, men's hoops, because as pointed out earlier.
This.
What's the matter? What you got it some problems
yesterday. Yesterday, we said this might be the biggest Saturday of the ACC campaign, fair or unfair.
It's important.
Do you agree with that or not?
It's very important. There's a lot of teams with stuff at stake this weekend. No question.
Well, let's start with teams that need to snap the skid. Okay? Like Louisville, like Duke, like they're playing each other. How's that?
Very
Clemson
insightful.
At Florida State needs to snap a skid. NC State at Carolina needs to snap a skid. And welcome back, NC State. To me, that's what makes this impactful. Then you start looking at some of these other games. Georgia Tech at Virginia. Pittsburgh at Wake Forest. Deacons have played well. Panthers building momentum. I mean, that's where I think we're talking about a singular Saturday of impact up and down the board in the ACC.
To me, if you want to prioritize what's going on, for me, it's Duke and Louisville because both of them are on two-game losing streaks. It is guaranteed, assuming they play, somebody's walking out of the Yum Center with a three-game losing streak. Louisville needs to get whole, right? Duke finally has. Louisville needs to. Duke needs desperately to get a quality win. I mean, they are, I'm telling you, when you go through that list, I said to you yesterday, what is Duke's best win? Man, it's January 23rd tomorrow, boys and girls. We're getting to the point where you need to start saying, hey, what's this resume look like? Are we an NCAA tournament team? Now, talent-wise, there's no doubt Duke and Louisville, talent-wise, are in. Louisville's gotten a head start, right? But they're not whole. So these guards tomorrow are going to have to control a basketball game. And Duke, again, if you watch the Pitt game on Tuesday night, it was out of sight. It was great. And, you know, Matthew Hurt's been out of sight, too. And but now Jalen Johnson's back in the mix. Watching that chemistry, Duke's now playing zone. As Jay Billis said, hey, if you can't defend people on the man, you better play zone.
Right.
So something's got to give in this game. I mean, it's one of those things, the winner of the game you're okay with, but the loser, you start to ask questions about, all right, what's the story big picture? I mean, you don't want to be on a three-game skid heading into late January. And Duke needs wins.
Heavens no. Yeah, Duke needs wins. Everybody's starting to already kind of fast forward into March and concerned about resumes and things like that. And, you know, I think the safest path here is to just hope you can keep going from one week to the next in terms of just the continuity. I still think the chemistry of Jalen Johnson and Matthew Hurt's going to be critical. They've got to get better defensively, Pac, right? The toughness factor that we've come to know from Duke basketball, we've talked about that. Is that as consistent as Coach K would want it to be? I'm not sure that's true.
No, it's not.
But Johnson brings – I mean, he brings a skill set they don't have anywhere else on that team.
Let's also remember the last time Duke was at Louisville. And the last time that was, if I'm not mistaken, Duke was down 23 with about 10 or 11 minutes to go and won the game. One of the most ridiculous finishes I've ever seen in a game that was a total woodshed job for basically 30 minutes. The Blue Devils came back and broke their hearts. So I don't believe that's – I think that's the last time they saw each other in Louisville.
Yeah, it is.
And now,
that's
granted,
because last year Louisville won at Cameron.
That's it. So, you know – I don't know. This is one of those games, Wes. It was kind of like as we were previewing the Clemson-Georgia Tech game the other night, and I said to you, hey, somebody could win by 20. My question to you would be, who won? Because I just didn't know. If I said to you the winner of this game is going to win by 16, Who's the winner? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just don't. So, going to be a good one. It's an important game.
Do I like seeing video of full buildings with fans and everything else?
Especially places like the Yum Center, right? I mean, places that just have a vibe. That just, they're kind of an energy on to themselves. Same thing at Cameron Indoor, Louisville the same way. There's certain buildings that when a game's like this, you really miss it. You really, really miss it. But it's still, even though Noe will be there, it's still going to be great. It'll be fun.
Let's shift to 3 o'clock. By the way, 4 o'clock start on Duke and Louisville. Dan Shulman, Jay Billis over on ESPN. The other game of note, 3 o'clock on ABC, Bob with Shoes and Dickie V have Clemson at Florida State. The Noles are not in the top 25. That should require an investigation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Clemson has got to find a way. Now, I want to revisit something from yesterday. I know that the Tigers have lost the 2 straight ball games, right?
Yep.
Virginia coming off the pause and Georgia Tech the other night. And both teams, both the Cavaliers and the Jackets, shot the ever-loving lights out of it. It was like Golden State in its heyday, right? The way those two teams have shot the ball.
31-3s.
That's it. But I would also counter with this. The old adage of you're never as good as you think you are, you're never as bad as you think you are, right? And to a degree, I think the measurements there of Clemson are, if you take away, now it's a lot to take away, but Clemson is not a bad basketball team. They haven't forgotten how to win a game. They haven't forgotten how to defend in the case of the 3-point shot. You got to just tip your hat and move on to Virginia and Georgia Tech shooting it great. Clemson has got some poise. They've got some – I mean, we've talked about the wins. Now, all of a sudden, you're going back to a team that, by the way, wants to beat you for what you did to them a couple weeks ago. Tigers have to process that as much as they have to process the 3-point shooting of the last 2 opponents, too, Mark.
Well, I would process the fact that, again, 31-3s they've given up in their last 2 games. They're getting ready to play a team that has been nothing short of sensational shooting the basketball. So going into this one, that one doesn't feel too good if you're wearing orange because, number one, the Noles never lose at home. They've won 20 consecutive ACC games at home. Number two, they're playing with tons of confidence. They're having fun playing, and they're shooting great. So Clemson better solve the riddle really, really quickly here because if it's another one of these, hey, there's dudes wide open making threes, Florida State will make them. They've got the ability to make a lot of them. This is a tough task, I think, for Brad Brunell's guys going on the road tomorrow. And if Florida State lives up to the way they've been playing, it could be a long afternoon for Clemson.
No question. And I think that's one of the elements that's interesting about kind of where all this game falls is that Clemson, everybody's looking at what opponents are doing from behind the 3-point line. Clemson's got to take care of the other business too. You can't have the turnover number.
Right.
You can't have the offensive rebound empty. You can't get the second chance. You got to get more second chance points off the glass. Now, tomorrow, rebounding will be a premium because of how good Florida State is. And, oh, by the way, Balsa Koprivica is playing great for Florida State. Now, he's going to be a lot to handle for Clemson because they don't necessarily run a guy out there. You know, Amir Sims tends to be the biggest guy on the floor for the Tigers. Yeah, P.J. Hall comes off the bench. Clemson's got to handle the interior as much as they got to handle the perimeter tomorrow against Florida State.
Yeah, we've discussed that Clemson's schedule is really front-loaded. I mean, they have gone through their grind. Right. They've played a really good non-conference schedule. They've loaded up on quality Power 5 wins. They at least have a resume, despite the last 2 games, that keeps them in the conversation. What Brad Brunell needs to do is just stop the bleeding. And, you know, if you lose this game, and there's certainly going to be – I would even assume – that the ESPN, BPI, whatever that thing is, probably has Florida State as a favorite. Even they have them as a favorite. But, you know, if you lose 3 in a row, if you're Clemson, you've got to grind through January, right? And I think BC's the next game. That game got moved by a day next week, given the COVID protocol and all that stuff. But they've at least got some resume builders, which is the good news. The bad news is you've got to make sure that a 2-game streak doesn't turn into a 4 to a 6 because all of a sudden you start giving all of that away. All that great work that you did in the early part of the season is a giveaway. So, again, there's still work to be done for everybody, but Florida State is playing with as much confidence as anybody in the country. I mean, they really look good.
BPI has Florida State at a 61.8% favorable rating.
There you go. That's actually good news for Brad Brennell and the boys, that the BPI's got Florida State favored that heavy. It's good news for Clemson.
All right, last one on this little docket here is State Carolina.
Oh, boy.
2 o'clock, ESPN, Doug Sherman, Corey Alexander will have it for you on the ESPN
side. You're wearing your red and white. There's nobody, no NC State fans going to be whining and complaining to Wes today about what you're wearing. You got your red and white on today. Yes, sir. NC State, you understand that? Wes Durham's got you 6th in accounting. You haven't won a game this year. Hadn't seen you play in weeks. And Wes Durham's wearing red and white. What more do you want, NC State? No complaining from you today. None. Don't want to hear it.
Got it. All right. Now, State won the first meeting.
Yep.
No DJ Funderburk in that game, by the way.
That's right.
Remember, Shaquille Moore had the big night. Baseline dunk like John Starks the whole bit.
Sure did.
Carolina struggled to shoot the ball. Did not defend very well. Roy Williams not happy with his defense after the ball game. Mark, you've talked about Carolina starting to pick it up.
Yeah.
Well, guess who needs to respond now?
Well, I think North Carolina is much better right now than they were when they played NC State the first time. I would tell you with NC State, I have no idea. We haven't seen them. I mean, they've been, you know, they had a 3-game losing streak and then they disappeared on us. So, I still think NC State's got a good club. And I think North Carolina's trending in the right direction. And anytime Baby Blue and Red and White get together, I don't care what it is, it will be fun. It'll be intense. And the Wolfpack is going for their first sweep of North Carolina since the 2002-03 season. Let that marinate a second. Bringing out brooms in Raleigh. They are bringing out the brooms, Carolina. Get ready, Wolfpack Nation. They want a piece of you. They're going for the sweep. And Roy Williams, you know Roy doesn't like losing NC State. Now, Roy has always held that rivalry in high esteem. He pays attention to it. And since he rolled into Chapel Hill, he's only 32-5 against the Wolfpack. So I don't care. Anytime NC State and North Carolina get together, it should be entertaining. And, again, I'm just glad we're going to get a chance to see NC State play again. They need to get going. They've lost three in a row. Been a while since they played. I still think they have a good basketball team. I do. I'm buying them. Yeah. But they got to win games too. We'll see.
The Wolfpack and Tar Heels at 2 o'clock tomorrow, as I said, on ESPN. That, too, will be a ball game. Weird again, just like the first meeting between the two with no fans.
I know. That stinks. Weird. Really stinks.
Yeah. They're also, you know, the second time around in this series is always interesting, too. Team that wins the first time typically doesn't win the second time. I mean, now Carolina's obviously had success. Pac just ran Roy Williams' numbers on you. But a couple of years ago, NC State won in Raleigh. Carolina turned around NC State won in Chapel Hill. Carolina turned around later in the year, won in Raleigh. So sometimes one doesn't beget the other. We'll see what happens. But as Pac mentioned, it's been a long time since the Wolfpack has swept Carolina. What would that be, 18 years if it happens tomorrow?
Right. Well, look at you doing that quick math.
Quick math. That's right.
But there have been there have been a lot of brooms in light blue. The Heels have had plenty of sweeps of NC State. And don't you know, NC State fans would love nothing more, even regardless of what happens the rest of the year, they would love nothing more to go, oh, yeah, hey, yeah, North Carolina. Yeah, I remember you. Yeah. Brooms, sweeps, catch you, gotcha, noted, see ya.
Yeah.
Right? You know it.
All right. Stand by. More to come in this hour. In case you missed it with Moses Wright at 8:45, don't forget that tonight, following Friday Night Duels, we roll out another edition of Bald Men Not on Campus. LaFonso Ellis, Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg bring you the latest news from the ACC. They'll also...
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Let's get into it.
All right. Virginia Tech on the road at Syracuse. Orange blitzed Miami the other night. Last time we saw the Hokies, They were taking care of business. You know, here we are, Pack. We talked about losing streaks in the last segment. Now we're talking about teams in must-win situations. This feels big. This feels big.
I don't know. Must-win for this game? No, Wes. This is not a must-win. This would be a nice-to-have. This would be a nice-to-have win. I mean, I don't think this is a must-win. Come on, Virginia Tech's in great shape. Syracuse would like to have
this. Five teams with zero or a one.
I get that. But a must-win? I don't think it's a must-win. I don't. Not going there.
Okay.
I'm not going. You can go there. I'm not going
to
go there.
Do I need to remind you we got 11 teams between zero and three in the loss column in the league?
I heard you yesterday with that, and that's all fine and good. But Syracuse would like to get this one because, number one, they're at home. They're going through this home stretch of 4 of 5. They took care of business this week. If they continue to shoot the ball well, I like their chances. When they don't shoot the ball well, I don't like their chance. Really, that's simple with me. I'm breaking down Syracuse. But Virginia Tech's been consistently good. Really, other than the egg that they laid against Penn State at home, I mean, you kind of know what you're getting with the Hokies, right? I mean, they're going to be tough.
Yeah.
They're going to get after you. And for Syracuse, hey, are you making shots? If you're making shots, you got a really good chance to win the ballgame. But a must win, I don't know I'm going to go there. Not there.
Marek Dolezal, Kevi Olumadamar, you like the feel of that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's an interesting game. And I just want to see if Syracuse can build on their momentum. Virginia Tech is, again, everybody that does accounting this week has had the Hokies in the top three, and rightfully so. They've earned it. They've been good, and they've been able to take it on the road and play well. I think if you're Syracuse, this is one of those that I think it's more important for Syracuse because you've got to kind of build, number one, momentum, some W's. Home schedule comes your way. You got to take care of and hold serve. And you got to start building your way back up to the standings. Virginia Tech's kind of right where they are. They've kind of earned the right to be exactly where they are, and that is in the conversation. But I'm not going to say it's a must win. It's too early for that for these teams.
All right. Let's go. Wake Forest winless, 0-6, 3-6 overall. Limited sample size. Deeks 33 days off. We've discussed it. Pittsburgh 4-1, 8-2. Has Wake Forest 6 o'clock. Remember now, this was supposed to be BC. This was supposed to be Pitt at BC, and it got changed midweek to Pitt at Wake Forest. Deacons were scheduled for the bye this week. Instead, they're hosting the Panthers. Now, for Pittsburgh, you're 4-1, you're 8-2, you're coming off the big win. I mean, not saying must win here.
Don't.
But we've been talking about Wake Forest playing better. Pittsburgh is the surprise of the league so far.
I don't know. You don't think Virginia Tech is a surprise of the league?
I'd go for that too, but Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh, okay, equal. Would you agree those two are the surprise of the league?
I think Virginia Tech's the surprise of the league, but I like what Pitt's doing. All right. Now, here's the deal. I think there's a similarity of the first game you laid out and this one, and that is – if you're Pittsburgh, you want to keep building, right? You want to keep, you know, people are now starting to pay attention to you. Justin Champagne is not only in the ACC race, but big picture. Pitt has now grabbed people's attention. So you want to keep building if you're Pitt, and now you got to take on the road. And I keep telling you, Wake may have a zero in the win column in the league. They're going to get somebody because eventually they're going to put 40 minutes together. And when they do, they're going to be celebrating like nobody's business in Winston-Salem. The question is, can they? Right? Because Pitt's going to make this a fight. Every time you watch Pitt play now, he's a bunch of grown men. They can't wait to get in your grill and let's go get to work. So Wake's going to have to be ready for that. And I thought Wake played pretty good in Chapel Hill the other night. Again, they had a chance.
I did too.
7-8 minutes ago in the ballgame. They're still in the ballgame. So eventually Wake's going to break through. Whether it's tomorrow, that's why you watch.
There you go. All right, 6 o'clock tomorrow night, by the way. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner with the call. By the way, are you surprised that Pitt is not favored as much over Wake Forest as FSU is over Clemson by BPI, friends in the BPI department?
I don't know who those BPI people are. If the NCAA really wants to do some work, leave Notre Dame football alone with Brian Kelly getting his picture taken with somebody and do an investigation on BPI. Who are they? Where are they? What do they consist of, and how in the world do they come up with their numbers? I have no idea how that works.
There you go.
No idea.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. We got games, we got wrestling, we got all kinds of stuff coming up. Great guests, including, in case you missed it, yesterday Moses Wright, who was awesome against Clemson. He's had a great year. But he joined us, and we asked him point blank. It had been 17 days since we'd seen the Jackets. Just asking, you feeling a little sore? How you feel after 17 days off?
Jeez, I'm definitely sore after playing that game last night. But going out on the court, it was just that adrenaline, that excitement everybody had. So it wasn't really like anybody focused on like the winded, being winded or anything. It's just the energy that everybody brought. It was like if you're winded, the team got your back and they're going to make sure you keep going.
You have had ball games where, I mean, you had 31 points, 19 rebounds to start the year. You've had double-doubles. You've had, you know, close to 20-20 games, things like that. But your growth as a basketball player at Georgia Tech, what's that been like?
Everybody's been telling me how good I am this year and how good I am last year, but it's just freshman year, it was a struggle for me. A lot of people didn't know who I was and everything, so it was just getting in the gym, proving who I was. And then it was just keep gradually getting better at the game and just gaining more confidence in whatever I was doing. So it just really helped having the coaches and my teammates on my back telling me how I could actually like make it if I keep working hard. So I just kept working hard, and then the results paid off.
Moses, you guys have won five in a row despite that 17-day lapse in between games. You're on a five-game winning streak. Do you think folks are sleeping on Georgia Tech as far as the big picture? I mean, you got Virginia this week, which we know how good they are. You know, you got Louisville, Florida State. You've seen those dudes, too. I mean, so you think folks are sleeping on Georgia Tech a little bit, big picture?
Well, I mean, if they're sleeping, they got to wake up because you're going to come hot. I'm just saying. We coming from blood out here. We know what we want to get to. We know that since we missed out last year in our post-game season, we're going to get straight into it. We missed our post-game last year, so we got to make up for lost time.
Is there a sense of last year and the way the season ended and the winning record in the league and things like that that you guys didn't get a chance to capitalize on that momentum, Moses?
Yeah, a lot of people were hurt. Like, dang, we did so well in the season. It sucks that we can't prove it in the postseason because we're definitely going to make that ACC tournament run, no question. Everybody's prepared to go out there and fight. So this year we just bring that same intensity that we had last year, and it's paying off.
I know you're excited about what happened last night, but I know the mentality of players and coaches. Hey, that's yesterday's news. What's in front of you is next, right? That's Virginia. And we know how good the Hoos are. And I'm sure you watched tape of what Virginia did to Clemson. You're like, yeah, that looks like exactly what we just did to Clemson. But when you see Virginia and you know, the way Huff has been playing, he can take you outside. You tell me, what do you see about the Hoos coming up this weekend?
To be honest, I haven't really watched a lot of Virginia. The last one I watched was the Virginia-Clemson game, and I was like, wow, they're shooting the crap out of the ball the second half. I was watching them, and I swear they only missed like two threes, and I was like, sheesh, we're gonna have to always keep our hands up on them. But, I mean, Virginia's a great team. They've been a great team like ever since they had the ACC tournament run, I think like 2012, somewhere back there. And ever since then, they've been rolling a hot cylinder, so we just know that the same intensity that we brought last night probably going to be tenfold for Virginia.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Moses Wright growing up in Raleigh, North Carolina, right there in the middle of the ACC, right? And I know you played tennis for a while, and then you cashed out the tennis and went to basketball. So how many years is this of organized basketball for Moses Wright, and what happened to tennis, man? Because that seemed like that might have been a win for you, too. Guys, your size be hard to guard in tennis.
So, played 1 year in varsity. I made the team freshman year. I didn't play freshman year. So, like, sophomore year, JV, senior year, varsity, and then now college basketball. So, I guess that's 6 years.
Really? Right.
Yeah. But with tennis, Well, with tennis, I stopped tennis for basketball, so I completely told my mom, I was like, I don't want to play tennis anymore. She was upset. She was like, just keep playing through high school and everything. And I was like, no, mom, I don't want to play tennis. And then I told my mom I was trying out basketball. And she was like, if you're going to do this, you got to put your all into it. And if you really want to drop tennis, we'll drop tennis. So that was really like a decision that she left for me to make. And I was like, yeah, I got to do it.
Moses, I do have to ask you a tennis question. Again, if you stopped playing 6 years ago, give or take, whatever it was, I don't know how tall you were at the time, but I can't imagine you with a racket coming to the net. How in the world would anybody knock it by you? I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, you cover so much space. You got great feet. You're athletic. I would think that you would be a complete nightmare in tennis coming to the net. You'd be impossible.
Yeah, I was always playing doubles with my doubles partner back in the day was Joseph, and so we won the tournament in North Hills, and it was just like me at the net. It was practically unstoppable for him at the
right.
baseline.
Where would you hit it against you? I mean, you're sitting here at the net with a racket on top of it, going, "Hey, go ahead. You want to lob it? Doink. Sorry, try that again." I mean, goodness gracious. That wouldn't even be fair as athletic as you are.
Yeah, well, it was fun playing tennis with Joseph and everything and everybody at the Ebony Racket Club. My cousin Junior saw that. It was always fun. Sometimes I still go out there sometimes and hit with them. Just show them I still got it.
I tell you what, I know Josh Pastner's glad you decided to keep that basketball thing and go down to Georgia Tech. But I'm going to tell you something now. Mom might have been right. Mom might have been right that you'd have been a nightmare in tennis. I'm just telling you, a nightmare. Hey,
she still tells me that, man. My mom's still like, oh, if you kept tennis, man, you probably would have been the grand slam or something.
Hey, Moses, let me tell you, you know this better than anybody. Mom is always right. Mom is always right. Yep.
Always.
Fourth in scoring, fifth in scoring and fourth in field goal percentage is Moses Wright in the ACC. If you had to guess like top five scorers in the league, would you guess Moses Wright?
No, but I tell you what, I'm just glad that Georgia Tech had it in their budget to fix the rims because he was bending them against Clemson. I'm telling you, he had some monster dunks in that game. He's had a great year. He really has.
And, yes, he has.
He will be an issue for Virginia tomorrow as the Jackets try to snap I think it's 20 consecutive games they have lost on the road against ranked teams. And Virginia's had really good success against the Jackets, but both teams playing with a great deal of confidence.
Last Georgia Tech win at Virginia was under Paul Hewitt.
How about that? Let that marinate a second. You know, when we had Tony Bennett on the show this week, I gave him that stat that he's 22-1 since 2013 against Notre Dame and Clemson. If you throw Georgia Tech in that mix, it's crazy how much success Virginia's had. And we keep talking about, I think nationally too, I'm not sure people get Virginia as far as how dominant they have been in the league as far as conference games and records here the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, really, it's been amazing what Virginia has done. They have a comfortable lead over number two in this league as far as conference wins the last 7 years. Tony Bennett's done an amazing job. And Josh Pastner and the boys, they've won five straight. They look like they haven't missed a beat. They looked awesome the other night after that 17-day layoff. Yep. So I think that's got a potential being a really, really fun game. And if they shoot threes, like both of them did against Clemson, that could be a wild game tomorrow in Charlottesville.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.